Welcome to Mormon Happy Hour. My name is Colleen Dietz. Join me and my guests each week for an entertaining recap of the hottest topics in Mormonism. We keep tabs on social media and headline news so you don't have to. Don't miss our live pro tips as you adjust to your new and exciting post-Mormon life. Mormon Happy Hour is here to bring you the irreverent side of Mormonism, wherever you may be. Welcome to episode 51. I hope you are having a wonderful holiday season. And as a little holiday gift, I have a special guest who hosts her own podcast. Her name is Chloe, and she is from the Wordless podcast. And they actually just dropped a special Christmas as an ex-Mormon or post-Mormon episode that I'm going to include in the show notes. And we're going to chat a little bit about it, but if you want a little bit more discussion on that topic, then that is my gift to you, is a link to her podcast. And also, we got a little chatty on the microphones, and I'm bringing that to you for the holiday season. So I hope you enjoy, and there's a little... We air some grievances at the end of our episode in honor of Festivus. And so write this down. I'm giving you two chances to write this down. Here's your first one. 435-494-1427. That is the Mormon Happy Hour voicemail. So if you have any feedback or comments or something to share for, perhaps the first birthday of Mormon Happy Hour. Also my birthday. It's just a fun coincidence. And or air your own grievances or whatever you want to say. There is also mormonhappyhour@gmail.com, and you can send me a direct message on Instagram, works well as well. Oh, and the website. You can follow the contact us on angelsonfire.org. And that's about it. So please enjoy a fun conversation with Chloe from Wordless Podcast. Welcome to Mormon Happy Hour. I have a special guest today. She actually flew in just for me. No.
Just for her. Really. Just for you.
So, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. So, my name is Chloe, and I'm part of another podcast, but I love Colleen's podcast. And so, when I knew I was coming down here, I wanted to meet her. And basically, just like I invited myself to participate in my own podcast, invited myself to be on your podcast, essentially.
I'm glad she did. So, Chloe came down and we just went out for coffee because we wanted to get to know each other a little bit better and found out that we have like everything in common.
Everything.
It's amazing.
It's true.
So I'm really excited to kind of bring her on, and I have a couple of topics that I wanted to talk to you about.
Okay.
So we'll just kind of play it by ear.
All right.
We're going to be winging this interview, so I hope you guys like some chat.
Yeah.
And I also brought, she heard me rant and rave about one of my new favorite drinks.
Can I show it?
Yes.
Yes.
So we're on video for those of you who are on Patreon. This is called Chelada, and it's like the beer version of Bloody Mary. And it's, I live in Arizona, so, you know, I have a lot of Latin influence here.
Yeah.
So you ready to open?
I'm ready to open.
And we've kind of, you know, inverted a couple times. Not shake, just invert. And I gave her the mini version just to make sure she likes it.
Mine's significantly smaller.
Mine is, like, huge. Like, it's bigger than a regular. This is 16 ounces and yours
mine's
is...
Mine's 8.
Oh, God.
There we go.
At least I don't have to drive.
I have to drive. I have to drive after this. So let's taste it. Here we go. Oh.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
You don't hate it?
I don't hate it.
Okay, so tell us what you think.
So I think I like the beer combination. And I'm not a huge beer fan, but something about the Clamato, I think, like kind of balances it out. Mm-hmm. Also, maybe I'm just getting used to drinking more and more. So, you know, whatever. It's all good. But no, I like it.
Yeah. And
it's quite good.
So Chloe was telling me that she might hate it because it's beer and all. Mm-hmm. But you like Bloody Marys, right?
Yeah. In general. It depends on how they're spiced, but yes.
Right. And this, I mean, it still does kind of taste like Bloody Mary to you, right?
Yeah.
So, and the beer, I don't know. The beer is just...
I discovered that I don't like vodka Bloody Marys because I can taste the vodka.
Oh, interesting.
And it ruins it for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So this is just the right, like, beer doesn't have a strong alcohol flavor. It's just beer.
No, but it goes nicely with the Clamato.
That salty kind of, it's perfect.
I do want some chips right now and guacamole, and I'm totally full, but, you know.
Totally. Yeah. So this is like the perfect mix for any Mexican food.
It is. It's fantastic.
And these go down really, really fast.
So. It's only 8 ounces that I have, but I'm still gonna, although maybe I should down it so that I'm done by the time I'm dry. You know, we'll think about this.
You can always stay here until you sober up. I'm okay with
that.
There
you go.
So yes, this is a Bud Light Clamato. If you, I don't know anything about the market, so I don't know if this is available outside of Arizona.
I don't either, but I'll find out and let you know.
All right, sounds good. Okay. Listeners, you can chime in as well. Am I sharing something that's only available in Arizona? Oh, one of my listeners sent in a wine recommendation. It's a Voss is the brand.
Okay.
And it's a Cabernet Sauvignon, but it doesn't, they stopped distributing to Arizona in like 2013.
Of course they did.
I'm like, what the fuck? So, for all of you not in Arizona, look it up. It was highly recommended as the most delicious because I just got into Moscato myself.
Which so. I'm like, you're all the way to a cab from Moscato.
I know.
Seems like a big jump.
But that's like, this. My listener is the same way with wines. And,
okay.
And so he was like, no, it's totally sweet. It's delicious. And,
okay.
And like, he was telling me like... Like, well, if I lived in, he's like, this is how good it is, basically. I don't know the direct translation, but he's like, if I was in Arizona, I would move just to be where I can get it. And I was like, okay.
So my question is, why hasn't he sent you a bottle yet?
Right?
Yeah. Because
you can mail wine now.
Yeah.
I'll ask him.
Can you? I don't even know these things.
I think you can. I think Amazon delivers wine now.
We do. I work for Amazon.
I do work for Amazon. I didn't know you did. Of course. You live in
Amazon.
Seattle.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So there you go. Is that too much? Maybe that's too much to share.
So do you.
I work for Amazon. Whatever. You can look me up. It's fine.
Nice. That's not a bad company to work for.
It's not a bad company to work for.
He's the richest man in the world now.
I am not, but...
But he is.
But he is.
Holy cow. Missed opportunity on stock there. Anyway. If there were no Amazon, I would literally have nothing in my house because, as you know now, no, I live in the middle of nowhere.
You do live in the middle of nowhere. Yeah. Which I used to... So, for listeners also, I used to live... out near here.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to say where here is.
I thought it was the middle of nowhere. But she lives like 10 miles past what I considered the middle of nowhere before. Maybe
yes.
Five.
It's really buttfucked Egypt out here.
I like it.
For real.
I like it.
Yeah. I like the peace.
Yeah.
It's nice.
It's nice.
I learned that I hate people the more I live out here. And traffic.
It's good to live out where you're away from people when you hate them. Good job.
Anyway, so, gosh, so many things I want to talk to you about, but you just dropped an episode, like, while we were drinking coffee.
Yes.
That it's a topic that I've been meaning to do, and I didn't do it this year. I tried to do it last year, didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But that is the topic of what does Christmas look like once you've left the Mormon faith?
Yes. And I'm not actually on the episode that dropped today.
Oh, well, then
so this
good.
Is kind of fun.
Yeah, this is really good.
Yeah, so I can talk my part because as we were talking at brunch, there are 6 people in the podcast that I'm part of.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not all on every episode because... Holy shit, that would be a lot. So
you have
so
done it before, though.
We have. At the very beginning, we did it a couple times just to kind of introduce all of us. But yes, so the holidays.
So, and I don't, did we fully introduce your podcast and kind of the scope of it?
No.
Let's do that real fast.
So the podcast is called Wardless, and it's specifically about navigating the how of leaving Mormonism. So for people who are listening who have maybe been out a little while, you'll notice that we... don't rip on the church. We don't. I think Colleen used the term. We use kid gloves a little bit.
Yes.
It's very intentional because it really is meant to be about the how of navigating. And when some people, when you're freshly out, and I know I was this way, I was still kind of defensive about things. So I was looking for sources that would help me navigate it without making me feel defensive. Because it really is a little bit like leaving an abusive relationship, right? And you don't want to get defensive. You want to be able to leave.
Yeah.
But really, we're totally focused on just How do you tell friends and family? How do you stop going to church? How do you navigate the holidays? Mm-hmm. We will have an episode coming up about swearing because we've gotten questions about it. And I don't want to make fun of it because it really is a thing. And it was so interesting. Like, we've gotten a number of questions about it, not just one listener, but that's a number of people. Funny. Right. So just talking through like the house of doing all these things. So mm-hmm. I love it. It's called Wordless. You can find it at wordlesspodcast.com.
Nice. So. And yeah, it is like Mormonism wrapped in cotton. Leaving Mormonism wrapped in cotton balls.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's intentional. And I love what other people do. I love your podcast. But that was the one, the type that I wanted to be a part of. So
nice.
Yeah.
I love That's the podcast. It's great. It's great. Yeah. It's a different approach than mine. Mine's a little just like, let's just laugh about
it. Yeah,
everything.
I like it. Yes.
But yours is much more, yours can be more useful to people in that yes. stage, which is good.
Definitely.
So the topic of Christmas.
Yes.
So the first year, so this is, this season is kind of the birthday of Mormon Happy Hour because we pretty much started December of this
year. I know. Congratulations. Happy anniversary. Thank I heard that. You. Super, super amazing. A year in. I love it.
It's cool. A lot of changes in a year, but I'm really excited about where the podcast is now. It feels really good. So,
whew. Yay.
So I noticed leaving Mormonism that like Christmas was really hard because I didn't know how I felt about Christmas anymore.
Yeah.
And I was already kind of like, not, I guess you could, from the outside, it looked kind of scroogey, but I just was kind of apathetic towards it.
Mm-hmm.
I've never liked the materialism of Christmas.
Yeah.
I've never really liked the concept of Santa and the obligated gifts.
Yeah.
And like the shit that comes out in retail and like right. just this, like the crowds and the materialism and the want, and it just didn't, I didn't like that. And so I never really bought into that as an adult. I hated buying obligated gifts for people. And so I just wouldn't do it. And then I'd feel like a jerk cause I didn't. And then like I left. Oh, and so like as a Mormon, I would always be like, oh, well, I'll just focus on the true meaning of Christmas. Cause that's Christ. And sure. Like that's not materialistic. And so I would focus on that, like, lukewarm, but that was, I'd rather think about that than Santa. And then I left, and I'm like, well, what the fuck else is left?
No, and actually, this gets talked about on our podcast by a couple other people, but I think it's very true. And the thing that I'm finding that's so interesting, at least that I'm noticing in kind of the post-Mormon space, is when you leave Mormonism, a lot of people are leaving Christianity entirely or leaving belief entirely or and maybe people aren't totally leaving it, but they have that initial, like, I just want to get away from all of it initially. And it is really tricky for me. So I didn't mention this. I'm single. Mm-hmm. So a lot of my traditions just depend on which family member I'm hanging out with. Sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I'm like in Vietnam, like I was a couple years ago. Like wow. I'm like, here we go. But I think even like I was really excited coming down here that there's no temple lights this year because it meant I didn't have to navigate that like tension of I love the temple lights in the sense that it's beautiful mm-hmm. and I have happy memories from when I lived here, but mm-hmm. I also hate them mm-hmm. in the sense that like I don't believe in this anymore and I'm still working through some anger.
Mm-hmm.
So navigating that is a little bit challenging. Thankfully, on some level, my family was very materialistic and so that just stays the same. That hasn't changed.
Yeah.
Right? But I think it is so hard. I do miss singing a lot. Like, I miss singing in choirs and the Christmas programs. And I think eventually I'll get back to that where I, like, decide I want to go to a church around Christmas
mm-hmm.
or maybe participate in some sort of Christmas choral something somewhere. Mm-hmm. But right now, I'm only a couple years out, and I still feel like I need a little bit of distance from it in space.
Yeah.
So
what, like, this is off topic, tangent and kind of deep question, but what's your relationship with religion? And
I am kind of in a space where I don't really know and I don't really care that I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, so I'm trying to just give myself space. I think especially coming from a religion where we knew in quotation marks all the answers, I'm enjoying the space of just not knowing.
And being okay right now.
And being okay with not knowing.
That's a huge step.
I think for a long time I stayed in because I didn't know what I did believe. So I was like, well, this is better than nothing. And then I finally got to a point where I thought, no, it's okay that I don't know.
I think that's a taught fear.
100%.
It's like there's a lot of fear mongering coming from the top down from every conference talk. Like, where will you go? Stay in the boat, you know? Oh, like, and we're always taught that wickedness never was happiness, and the people that don't know, you know, they're if you leave
you're
the
like
church,
floundering.
Eventually, mm-hmm. your life will just blow up in your face, yes. and it's all because you left.
Right.
And so I feel like once you rid your thoughts of all of that fear mongering.
Yeah.
Then you're okay. And that's kind of where I am now.
Yeah.
I'm becoming more and more okay with not engaging in religion whatsoever because there's, you know, whatever. Yeah. It's not important. And I'm okay with not knowing what happens when I die. It's like, that doesn't have any relevance on how I live my life here and now.
100%. And I, you know, I've talked to a couple of my siblings who, like, I talk to more about the fact that I no longer go and no longer consider myself practicing Mormon.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think I'm still trying to live a good life. Like mm-hmm. those principles of generosity. So back to the Christmas point,
uh-huh.
like the traditions that I had of giving gifts, like giving gifts to my neighbors. I still give gifts to my neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
But do you know what? There's some freedom in giving gifts knowing I'm not Mormon and there's nothing attached to it, even though there never was anything attached to it for me.
But there kind of was.
Like, there was in the sense that, like, you should fellowship people.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I'm now realizing, oh, actually, I just want to be a nice person. Like, mm-hmm. I just want to get to know my neighbors and not because I'm trying to convert them.
Uh-huh.
And I, in fact, just talking about it now, realized how liberating that was to just be able to be generous and not, and just have it be because I wanted to be generous.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because I wanted to do something.
Yeah, like, not having, like, not doing service because of a, like, an eventual goal. Like, you're yes. good because for the sake of being good, not yeah. for your, you know, mansion in heaven.
Yes.
It's, to me, I'm like, oh, it's,
yeah.
I would prefer someone be good because they like me rather than be good right. because they feel like God's going to bless them for being good to me.
Right.
Which is so impersonal.
So impersonal. Well, and I would prefer, like, knowing that, that it's not about trying to get me back into the fold type mm-hmm. of thing either. So it's just that whole, like, it's actually integrity. Like, I feel like I now have integrity.
Yeah.
When I'm giving gifts or doing anything.
Absolutely.
Right? So I think that's been nice.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
So you still interact with your family around Christmas.
Yep.
And I know that that's a topic that a lot of people talk about on other podcasts, not mine, that really deal more with, like, the mental health and preparing for engaging in TBM families around yes. the holidays. I feel like I have some sort of privilege when it comes to that because, like, I'm an only child. I moved away and I married a never Mormon whose family is also never Mormon. And so I don't have those same hang-ups that I do, like, when I go to my family's family reunion.
Yeah.
And, like, you look at the family reunion agenda and it's like church activity, church activity.
Yeah.
There's like 5 church activities in one day for 3 days. I'm like, is this a family reunion or is this like a church gathering?
Yeah.
So, like, I feel like that's how other people feel around the holidays.
Do you know what? My family, my family of origin
mm-hmm.
is not that way. We are not church activity. We are a pray over food. But we're not like a read Luke 2
nice.
Type family. And so maybe at times my brother's extended family has been that way, but
mm-hmm.
I don't. We've never been that way. And so it's actually fairly easy. The extent is I had to go to church. I didn't have to go to church this morning. I went to church this morning because my niece and nephews were singing.
That's a big deal. Yeah.
So great. I'm going to mm-hmm. be there. I'm going to support them. If they were some other religion that I'd never believed in, I would have been there.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel really lucky in that way. Now, my extended family will get a little more Mormon-y when we're together. But I also have an uncle who wasn't a member, my grandfather who hasn't been alive, who passed away a long time ago, but he was never a member. And so there's still a good balance where that's it doesn't healthy. Get too crazy
mm-hmm.
churchy. So I do feel really lucky that way. And I wonder how people do navigate that because it would be
yeah.
really hard. But I do think what's helped me a little bit is to take a step back and think, okay, if my family were Buddhist and I'd never been Buddhist and they had these rituals, whatever they were,
mm-hmm.
I'd probably participate. Now, I still have baggage with some of those things as I'm like working through my own experience, but mm-hmm. I try and kind of take that lens when there are those moments and think, okay, how would I approach this if I'd never believed in it? Mm-hmm. And then I can participate in a different way. And yeah. I still feel like I have integrity. Mm-hmm. But it's like, this is important to my family, so I can do this.
Yeah.
It's fine.
And I did want to point out also, I try and do this same thing. I participate in a Christian moms group, like, yeah. twice a month. And I've done it for, like, 2 years now. And at the beginning of my faith crisis, it was really hard for me because they do a devotional based on the Bible every week. And it was really hard for me to just sit there. It would grate on my skin because I had just left the church and I yeah. didn't know the whole God relationship. And it just, like, felt icky. And as I've progressed, I felt myself leave that bitter stage. And then I was okay to sit there. And then I got to a point where I'm like, well, I want to still get something out of it. So I would, like, religiously, or not religiously,
that's the wrong adjective. It's the right term, though.
It is. I would religiously try and take notes and be like, from a secular perspective, how can this story help me in my life? The story yeah. of Ruth or whatever.
Yeah.
And so, like, I would try and do that. And then I found myself burning out every week. I would try so hard to get a message out of the Bible message
that
wasn't based on God. That by the time, like, the activity changed to, like, socializing, I was done.
Yeah, I was exhausted.
And so then, like, I finally this semester just made the decision that this isn't for me anymore, which is sad because I enjoyed my time, you know.
Right.
Out of the house, doing crafts, doing activities, but I just couldn't handle the devotional anymore. And yeah. that, like, it sucked, but I'm like, at the same time, I feel like I am making the best decision for myself.
Yeah.
And I feel like that relates to, you know, family in during the holidays that are still engaging in, like, the Christian aspects is, like, it can become emotionally exhausting
yeah.
to be there in that space. And even though it feels okay, it still is going to, you know, it's okay to acknowledge that that's going to wear you down.
Yes. And it will.
Yeah.
100%. And there's definitely, when I'm with my family, I mean, I'm with my family right now because I'm visiting. But if everyone's going to church and it's not some event, mm-hmm. I don't go.
Yeah.
And that's just an okay thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I give whatever response, you know, depending on who's asking. My dad asked me, why don't you go? And I was like, because it makes me angry. And that was kind of the end of it, right? So
yeah.
just kind of setting those boundaries, I think, is really important. And I love that you explored, like, let me try and do this. And guess what? Nope, I tried and it's not working.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah. I probably put in a little bit more than I should have, but
maybe.
But I mean, I don't regret the time because I really like the relationships, and I mean, it all relates. You value the relationships with your family, and,
yep.
and that's something that's important for them, and
yep.
you know. But it comes to a point where you get to put yourself first, and
yeah.
you get to make decisions that are best for you and your own mental health and happiness. It's okay for us to be happy.
Yeah. Right? It is.
We don't have to be self-sacrificing anymore.
And it's okay to set boundaries.
Mm-hmm. Boundaries right. are very healthy.
Yeah. Yep. Very healthy.
Agreed. So I think we've beat that one a little.
Yeah.
Probably also because I feel like we don't have the perspective that, like,
The like super TBM, like yeah. Luke 2, we're all going to do all this stuff. Let's yeah. have a devotional.
Part of a big family.
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah. Like, I feel like that would be hard. And maybe next year we can put, I'll try and put together that for my, yeah. we probably did that this year.
The podcast that we just put out today is mm-hmm. very much about dealing with family. And there definitely is the more TBM family aspect mm-hmm. to it with the panelists who participated today.
Well, good. So if you want more on that discussion,
I should say,
check out Wordless.
Yes. And I say today because we're recording this today.
Yes.
So the date is December 16th.
Okay.
So there
yes.
you go.
Yes. It was in, I think it's called Deconstructing Christmas.
Yes. It is called A Very Deconstructed Post-Mormon Christmas. So there you go. Yeah.
Okay. So the next thing I think I wanted to talk to you, Chloe, about is just you and your journey
yes.
and your life. Now, you're single.
I'm single.
And you've been single.
Yes.
Through some bumpy things that we talked about
this
morning.
Some bumpy things, yes.
But some things that I admire about your life is that you live your life for you. You make your decisions for you. I love that you are single by choice.
Yeah.
And that from what I gather from you, you're very comfortable in your own skin, and I love that. And like we were talking about in your Facebook group, I
yeah.
decided to weigh in like a big fat, big yeah. mouth like I am.
I love it. No, we love participation. We also do have a Facebook group for the podcast.
Yes. And you talked about dating like the benefits of dating an ex-Mormon.
Yes.
And I was like, and I had to weigh in and be like, but I married a never-Mormon and I love that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and then I think I ended it by saying something like, but I feel like Mormonism has left us with like this eternal dissatisfaction with our life.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, always wanting what we don't have and never being satisfied because of guilt or shame or something that we've done to deserve less than. So anyway, but tell it, like, I want to hear like kind of your journey and dating and what that kind of looks like for you.
So I'm going to try and summarize a little bit, but I was one of those very inexperienced, like I just did not date a lot when I was younger. I went on a mission. So I was a late bloomer. We'll call me that. I was a late bloomer. And just to digress for a minute, have you ever seen that t-shirt that says, I'm sorry for what I said when I was Mormon?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I have a lot of those moments because I was also a little bit judgmental. Like lovingly judgmental. I loved these people.
Because that's how Mormons are.
But yes.
We are lovingly judgmental.
Yes, and then I had to eat a lot of crow. late bloomer, dated a little bit, then dated the one person that I was engaged to. So I've been engaged once. And that was a terrible experience. We talked a little bit about this because we both know this person. But it was just an abusive relationship. Yeah. It was emotionally abusive. And thankfully, I didn't marry him. But it turned me off to dating for a little while, for sure. But the one positive that came out of it was I finally, because I was 28 at the time and I felt like an old maid and I was Mormon and I did want to get married and have kids. It wasn't just the Mormon thing. Like I really wanted that, or at least had been programmed to want that. But right. I believe I wanted it.
It's hard to tease that
it
apart.
It is hard to, yes. But so the one benefit of that was I could sit there and say, well, at least I know that if I wanted to be married, I could be married. And there was some relief in that, just going, and I don't want to be married just to be married, because that would have been a disaster.
Yeah.
So that ended. And then I dated a little here and there, but I was still, the other thing that came out of that was I dug my heels in because he was very progressive.
Mormon progressive.
And because he was so abusive, my association was Mormon progressive abusive. So I like stayed away from anything. Even when I started to go through my own transition, I still stayed away from anything because he'd been affiliated with a lot of the very public Mormon progressive. So like I never listened to Mormon stories. I avoided all of it, which was kind of nice because I figured out what I wanted to do. But it would have been nice to have the community. It did.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So I was actually living overseas and became the young women's president, which is kind of when I really started to go, I don't know if I can do this anymore.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, you've been through this. You can kind of reconcile things for yourself for a long time. And I had an MBA. I was working overseas. I had this great career. I dated kind of when I wanted to date. I kind of stopped dating any kind of Mormon after my ex-fiance.
Even though you were still active.
Even though I was still active, which that's tricky.
Well, I mean, like, I get that as a reaction.
Yeah, yeah.
You get a bad taste in your mouth and you're like, nope, done.
And the never Mormons just treated me better and appreciated me. I had, like, yes, I'm comfortable in my skin now. It's taken me a long time. I still have some insecurities. But at the time, like, I went to BYU and was one of, 15,000 women who could sing and was smart and
you beautiful. Know,
did all those things, but I wasn't super skinny, and that's all I cared about at the time. And then I got out to dating, like, non-Mormon. And I'm sure there are Mormon men who are not terrible. But I got out in the dating world and was like, oh, these guys don't, like, they are not looking for this perfect Barbie doll who's going to be submissive. Like, they like how I am. So I pretty much stopped dating Mormon guys, but then trying to navigate that and still being very, like, Orthodox Mormon was really tricky. So I got to Tokyo, kind of figured out this wasn't working for me so well, but I loved the community. And, of course, like, so many people thought, I can do good if I stay here. I can give these young women an example of, like, you don't have to get married at 22 or even 25 and start popping out babies if you don't want to. If you want to, great. Like, I'm all about choices. But, and then I started dating an ex-Jehovah's Witness.
Mm-hmm.
in Tokyo, American living in Tokyo. And that was so beneficial for me because he was really understanding of where I was at and just really helped me kind of figure some things out, be a little bit like he was very respectful. And so that gave me space to go, okay, well, I don't have to hold this line so tight because he's going to be respectful of where I'm at. And he was. And it was a great relationship. And that was the relationship I was in. And I say relationship, it was loose. But while I was kind of figuring all of this out. So since then I moved to Hong Kong, really kind of figured out I wanted a different relationship with the church. And was still going, but I was very thoughtful about how I wanted to engage. And needed that community. When you live overseas, it's a lot harder to find that community, especially being single and not having kids, because a lot of the expat community is around children, right? Yeah. Kids in school. And then when I moved back to the U.S., I was like, okay, I'm done with church. And I'm now in this totally different space. For my family, if anyone from my family is listening right now, go ahead and stop. You probably don't want to hear the rest of this.
The end.
It's over now. So this guy that I dated in Tokyo, he was the one who, like, I drank with for the first time, who I slept with for the first time. So
your, like, first time ever?
Yeah, first time ever. Wow. So I was super orthodox. Like, yeah. Even if my belief wasn't totally there, the practice, yeah. I was very orthodox there. Not to say I didn't screw around, but I did. But but as far as, like, going all the way. So it was just, like, that was such a helpful relationship for me. So I still have this, like, tender place for him, just because he was so great about, you know, being patient and understanding my mind frame. And I could be very vulnerable with him and be like, so, you know, I've never had a drink before. Like, and I was, that's how good I was, right? Yeah. Good. I hate the term good. That's how orthodox I was. Because I don't think drinking's bad. But yeah, so he was great as far as that goes. So since then, it's just been dating other people. But even after him, I was still like, do I want to stay in the church? Do I not? So I've had a number of relationships since then where it's been a little tenuous as I've been trying to navigate that. The biggest thing, and I think why I posted this on the Facebook group, is like navigating my family relationships, because I don't have the benefit of being an only child, which I actually love. Like, I love my family. In fact, that's part of the problem, but I adore them. And so I want someone who can navigate that and, like, be okay with it. And it just seems like it would be a lot easier with someone who had been.
Who understands.
Yes.
Okay.
But I like the idea of someone who left when they were, like, 13 or 14.
Right.
So it's not like the blind leading the blind.
Right.
A little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I will frequently say to my fellow podcasters in Wordless, I'm a little jealous of, like, those that were married and both have left.
Yeah.
Because it's like,
you have something safe that follows you out.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And that relationship is great. And then I think about the folks who are in relationships where they've left and their spouse is still very TBM. And I think, nah, not worth the risk. Like, no, thanks. Sounds,
yeah.
Right.
My really heart goes out to mixed relationships.
Seriously.
It's, I. Ugh.
Right?
Ugh.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I was never in a healthy relationship as a Mormon. I definitely threw the baby out with the bathwater when I got a divorce. Like, the church was one of the things that I'm like, I'm throwing everything out of my life and I'm going to let things in very, like, one at a time to make sure that they're healthy and safe.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting.
So that was a lot about my dating history. And now I use all the apps and I am on them all.
And she has a lot of fun.
I do have a lot of fun. I do. It's true. I think sometimes guys I'm dating think I'm not serious when I'm like, well, yes, I'm interested in finding a person eventually, but I'm not, like, it's, I don't have this anxiety around it. I'm not anxious to do it. I kind of went through this whole grieving process around probably not having kids. And now I'm at a point where I probably don't want kids. Maybe if I found someone who really did want them, I'd consider something. But I'm kind of beyond that at this point.
Yeah.
I have nieces and nephews who I spoil and love and adore. And they fill that need. And then I go home and I sleep until 10 a.m. if I want. Every day. And no, I do have a job. But otherwise, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's quite a, I think that topic in and of itself could be an entire just, like, children, wanting children, loving children, feeling that nurturing feeling could be a whole podcast in and of itself, like, leaving Mormonism and navigating that.
Yeah.
Because, like, when I was married to my first marriage, we struggled with infertility, and we, you know, spent $12,000 on, you know, trying to interventions to get pregnant. And thank God I never had a child with that man, but I still remember that feeling in enduring infertility in the Mormon culture. And, you know, I was like, hey, I want 12 kids. Like, that's what, like, I'm not joking. That was not an exaggeration. Yeah. That was my goal. And then, like, I kind of learned, you know, not having kids and being infertile and not having that. There are some benefits that I can see from that period because it taught me to find fulfillment outside of childbearing.
Yeah.
You know, like, I loved gardening. I really loved cooking. I threw myself into other hobbies that I found really fulfilling. You know, I cooked 2 meals a week at the Bishop's Storehouse. So I was still engaged in, like, the Mormon community. And that was, like, the most fulfilling thing because I could, it was that, it kind of.
You could nurture.
Yeah.
You got that. Yeah, yeah. And, met that need.
Yeah. And nurturing to a group that was so graciously thankful and just showered me with gratitude and thanks.
Yeah.
And, like, that felt amazing.
Which, P.S., you now have kids and they don't shower you with gratitude for meals.
No.
Right? They're like, I don't want this.
And the funny thing is, and this is one of the problems in my first marriage, like, red flag problems. There was a group of boys that came into our ward from Idaho for a summer to sell pest control. And so there was a apartment full of teenagers, like, totally unsupervised, right? For the whole summer.
Mm-hmm.
And they, like, came and introduced themselves, like, the first fast and testimony meeting. And so it turns out one of them, like, has ancestors from Mexico, same as me. So I'm like, oh, we're related. We're totally cousins.
Yeah.
And so I, like, cornered him in the hall and introduced myself. And, like, oh, so funny that we're both, you know, from the colonies in Mexico. And so then they started coming over for meals throughout the week.
Yeah.
And I thought it was great because, again, it was like these they're boys.
You're nurturing them.
Yeah. What teenage boy doesn't love a home-cooked meal?
Right.
And so it, like, fulfilled that, like, desire to, like, nurture.
Totally.
My ex-husband was furious and went to the bishop and said that it was immoral and I was having immoral thoughts and feelings about these boys.
And in the meantime, you're like, I'm cooking them meals. I'm thinking about them like my own kids.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, you're the bastard that looks at children that way. Not me.
Oh, my gosh.
Not me.
Oh, my gosh.
Stop projecting.
But I think it brings up a great point that, like, in Mormonism, there's, like, one way that's appropriate for women to nurture, and that's to bear children.
Yes.
And to raise those children. And there are so many more ways than that to do that. And it's not just Mormonism. I mean, society has made a ton more progress than Mormonism has, but there's still societal pressure, and it still is like, oh, you're not, you know, you don't want kids.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it is just a product of, like, I'm 41 and I don't want to be, personally for me, I don't want to be a 61-year-old with, like, a senior in high school.
No.
That's my own situation, right?
Yeah.
That may work for someone else. Great. Personal choice. But it's just such an interesting thing. And it's been so nice to get away from the pity that exists
right?
in Mormonism. And it's presented in, like, this really hopeful, like, well, you'll get
children in the millennium.
Yes, or you'll get married someday. Or maybe you'll marry someone who's got kids and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, already I'm not totally sold on marriage. And then marriage and inheriting someone else's kids. Like, okay, maybe. But that's not a selling point.
Yeah.
Like, that's I might be able to do that if I have to.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And now I have kids. I have four kids. 3 of them are step kids. And step-parenting is, like, the hardest thing in the entire world.
Well, and I had a stepmother, and I am not the best stepchild, so I get it.
It's a tough relationship.
Yeah, it is a tough relationship.
And my husband and I talk, like, now I can be okay with my feelings and my real core desires. And, like, we're like, man, we would have been okay with, like, 0 to 1 kid.
Yeah, yeah.
We would have been fine. We would have been better off. Like, we, like, and this is a negative, and maybe we shouldn't be negative, but we're like, well, we're too selfish human beings to be good parents. And I'm like, I don't even know if it's selfish. Maybe we're just not, like, that's just not what we're programmed to be and do.
I actually, and it's interesting because I'm going to reference something someone in church said as a positive, but during my MBA, and I went to BYU for my MBA, Which I feel like I got some of my tithing money back that way. So awesome.
High five.
High five. But Sherry Dew was speaking to a group of women.
Love
and,
her.
And she came and she was like, I mean, the fact that all women are basically told you're going to be a mother, it's like taking a room of men and saying, you're all going to be dentists. Right? And I thought that's such a great analogy because it's not for everyone. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Right? And or men can be X, Y, and Z and a father. Why can't women mm-hmm. also? Right? So I'm going to get my little feminist soapbox for a minute. But it is like it's not for everyone mm-hmm. necessarily. Right? And it's not the only thing either. Mm-hmm. My sister works full time and always has. And I think she gets so much fulfillment out of that. And she's like super mom when she's at home. She has three kids. But I just am like, if her whole life was her kids, like, that's hard.
She wouldn't be the same person.
No. And I really appreciate all of the women out there who do it and like full time mothering and like mm-hmm. how emotionally difficult that has got to be. Because I get fulfillment. I get validation all the time. I get appreciation. I've got a paycheck that tells me I'm great. You know, like,
yeah,
it's all coming in all the time.
All those things I used to get in the Bishop's Storehouse, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Except for the paycheck.
And the dating piece versus marriage, like, it's really nice. I mean, there are times definitely when I'm like, oh, I would really like my person. Mm-hmm. But there are way more times when I'm like, I'm glad that I can just go home by myself. And I'll call someone. I do feel like it's pretty easy being a woman, too. Like, I'm like, I can date someone if I want to.
You want a Netflix and chill?
Yeah.
Sweet!
Right? Like,
I pick you.
So easy. So easy. But as a woman in Mormon culture, I did not feel that way.
No.
I felt like I was fighting for attention and like baking the brownies, which I was never a brownie baker.
Oh,
and it made brownies. Me crazy. Well, I love baking brownies. I mean, for guys, I was never the like, let me take you a plate of brownies. Yeah. Right. Let me. In that just wasn't who I was.
Isn't
as a person.
That a thing at BYU?
Oh, it's a thing. It's and disgusting. I remember one of my roommates at one point saying, and I love this roommate dearly, but I remember her saying, one of my other roommates was like moving a dresser and she came in. She's like, well, why don't you call this apartment of guys to come help you? And my roommate's like, because I can do it myself. And it was just this mentality where it's like, that's my mentality. Why would I ask someone for help if I can do it myself? Mm-hmm. So it's just interesting being out of that and being in a different space where I feel like I'm valued a lot more and not just for chilling, the chilling part of Netflix. Although that's enjoyable.
Well, are we PG suddenly?
I'm still in my, like, I still am not so
she
public.
She means the fucking part of Netflix and fuck.
I mean, maybe.
Didn't mean to out you there.
Uh-huh. That part of it. It's not always that.
These cans are really cold
on what
if
I
you
want.
Need a few cheeks.
But I get to set the limits around what I want and what I don't want, right? And when I'm done, I'm like, okay. See you later.
Yeah.
Like, I'll see you next week. And there's a lot of freedom in that, I think. Like, I really enjoy it.
Well, yeah, it makes you, it's so empowering to be able to set boundaries and not be told what everything means. And
Yeah. And it's also been interesting kind of learning about and feeling out real consent versus like the Mormon consent.
Is there
like
consent in Mormonism?
It's so weird. And it's like everyone's on the same page of what's okay and what's not okay. So consent isn't even a discussion, mm-mm. right? It's just like this thing versus going, actually talking about consent and or giving consent. And it's a real thing. Mm-hmm. And how respectful all of the guys that I've dated, at least in the past few years, have been mm-hmm. and like very conscientious around consent and very much like, and not weirdly like, is this okay? Because that I don't like either, but very much like, I'm going to feel out whether this is a good thing or not. Mm-hmm. And I also, for myself, learning how to be more assertive and going after what I want, right? So like going, no, look, I really do want to have sex right now. Like, let's just do this, right?
Yeah. Mormon girls don't say that.
Right.
No.
So.
Yeah. Love it.
So it's interesting.
Oh, well, what, I mean, we talked about so much. Now I'm brain farting on, like, topics I wanted to talk about. Like, was there anything you wanted to talk about?
I think the dating piece is really a big thing. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting hearing from so many of my post-Mormon friends how many wish that they'd dated more.
Oh, me.
Before they got married or had more sex. before mm-hmm. they got married. That's been an interesting thing because mm-hmm. I think if you don't know what you're missing because you've only ever been with one partner, mm-hmm. there's some benefits to that mm-hmm. because I clearly, like, I've got preferences now, which I feel like most Mormon women don't mm-hmm. so much or don't know that mm-hmm. there's that option. So I think that's been a really interesting thing because it feels like it's nice for me to think about that and be like, that's kind of nice. It also means sometimes I meet a guy and everything's great and then we go to have sex and I'm like, oh, this isn't going to work. Like, right? But that feels terrible, but I finally taken a step back and going, that's okay. Like, that's just attraction and bodies. It is a big part of a relationship.
You can't fix that, yeah, really.
And it needs to work.
Yeah, and I mean, not to say that I'm at all unhappily married. I really enjoyed that time that I was single after I got a divorce because there was so much personal growth in that time. Like, I learned who I was, what I wanted. I learned that I was enough being all by myself.
Yeah.
And that feels amazing to know that you are enough to yourself.
Yeah.
And that you don't absolutely need anyone else to survive because I survived.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I wish that I had, like, it didn't work out and I wouldn't go back and change it. I mean, I guess I would. I would love more time, but I wouldn't want to give up the experience.
You wouldn't
want to
change where you're at now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's weird. Like, I love the way it happened. I wouldn't change it, but I also wish that I had more time for personal growth. And I can still get that now. It's just harder because I suck at relationships, which we've talked about.
We have.
Like, I struggle with communication, and my husband is very humble and will always recognize when he has fucked up, and I cannot ever do that. And that is rough in relationships.
Well, and I wonder, though, if part of that is not just you, but if part of it is also fighting against kind of being the lesser sex for so long. Maybe not, but, like, I definitely feel
mechanism.
Yeah, I feel a little that way at times where I'm like, no, I don't need to admit that I'm wrong right now.
Yeah.
You're wrong. Yeah. It's an interesting thing. And also just the communication in general. Like, I've learned a lot more about communicating because there's more communication that happens around things like sex, around just the relationship in general. Mm-hmm. Which is really nice to kind of figure that out. I had a thought as you were talking about you are happy with your story, but, and I was just going to say, and I have to talk about my therapist because I talk about my therapist in every podcast episode ever. My therapist would say, and you really like your story and you wish you'd had more time. Because that's been really helpful for me because it's like, I really like where I am now. And I wish I hadn't have had to go through the Mormonism or go through the abusive relationship, mm-hmm. right? Like, I really do like who I am as a person and all those things contributed to it. And I wish I hadn't have had to do it.
Yeah.
It was hard.
I think what my problem is I'm not crazy about where I am right now in my own emotional development.
Yeah.
And I think that I wish that I had had more time to figure my shit out before I brought someone else to
into
suffer with me.
Yeah.
I think that's my problem. And I mean, that's something that I'm aware of. I know that I have a lot of personal growth still.
Yeah.
I think that's where I'm at.
I wonder a little bit if it's a little bit of a myth that anyone is ever at that space, right? You made a comment to me like, don't tell me that. You seem so like secure in yourself. And I'm like, I am very secure. And I still have a lot of growing to do, right? I still have things that I really don't like about myself.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
But there are things that you really do like about yourself.
There's a lot I really like about myself.
That's awesome.
That might be why I'm single. I pretty much think I'm awesome.
And maybe that's why I suck at relationships, because I never admit fault. I am awesome!
Maybe, you know. But I do joke sometimes, because I think there's this belief that, like, you have to be in a relationship, right? Like, that's especially growing up Mormon, like, a relationship is the ultimate, and it's the eternal goal, right? To, like, be in this eternal family.
And to be the submissive eternal.
Yes. And it's interesting, because it's not, right, that's not my goal at this point. And so when I think about, and I will say this when I'm talking to especially my siblings, and thankfully I've got this amazing family, and my mother encouraged all of us girls to get an education, make sure we could take care of ourselves, partly, I think, because she felt a little trapped in her marriage. And mm-hmm. so, but even it wasn't about divorce, but the fact that, like, if I'm going to get into a relationship, it needs to at least be a net neutral, right? Mm-hmm. Like, because I don't have this view anymore that my life will be better being in a relationship. In fact, most of the time, I think it will be worse. And it's, so I'm looking for hard. A net neutral, right? Yeah. I hope the highs are a little higher and I expect the lows to be a little lower.
Because the stakes are higher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you have another person in it with you. Mm-hmm. Like, when I am having a rough day, I don't have to deal with you. It's just me.
Yeah.
And yes, there are times when I'm like, oh, it'd be great if I had a partner in this with me. And then I'm like, but what if my partner was having a rough day too? And then there's two of us in the shit, right?
Well, yeah. And when you're like, I'm an only child. We talked about. Like, and I thrive on my alone time as a coping skill to settle and handle, and I can't do that with a house of six people.
Right.
And so when I'm having a bad day, it's six people's bad day. It's not just mine.
Right.
And that sucks, especially like the thought that like I'm short and, you know, bitchy to my kids. And I'm like, it's not their fault. And I'm like, but I can't, like, hard to focus. I'm like, here I am having a bad day and I got to make dinner and I got to make sure they're getting their homework done. And I have to speak to them, not like an asshole.
Yeah.
Like,
and I go home to my dog. And life's
He's going to love you anyway.
Yes. Yes. And it's so nice. And she's so lovely and happy. And I will say that that actually was kind of this turning point where I was like, oh, I really may never need to be living with anyone ever. Like, I can get my needs met pretty much anytime I want. On my terms. I don't have to share a bed. In fact, most of the time I don't. Like, even if I'm sleeping with someone, I'm like, okay, you can go now. So it's rare that I'm like, sure, you can spend the night. Because I'm like, I don't want you here.
I need my space someday. And my time. Yeah.
And I just need to be able to control my environment. Huh. So
back to the controlling. Uh-huh.
Little bit. A little bit.
I hear ya.
So I appear like I'm not very controlling only because I've got a totally controlled
because
life.
You are controlling everything.
Everything.
See, maybe that's why. That's why I envy the single life, because I'm a control freak and I don't compromise well.
Yeah. Well, I've just stayed single. So. That's not to say if there isn't some like listener out there in the Seattle area who's post-mo and in their 40s.
There you go.
You know.
Who would like to Netflix and chill just to start.
Just to start. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for flying down just for
You're
warm
welcome.
And happy hour.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited to meet you in person. Be
it's
able to
been
be
really
here.
Fun.
Yes. Really fun.
Well, thank you. And I think I'd like to get this out to my listeners just because your Christmas episode just dropped. So I think it would be, since I didn't do anything for Christmas for my listeners, I can give them the gift of your episode.
Yes, please do. Send them our way.
So I'll put that in the show notes. And Merry Christmas, or whatever you're doing. Happy Festivus.
Happy Festivus to the rest of us. If anyone wants to air grievances.
Right here. Where is it? I have a phone number for the show. Okay, this is, I'm going to air a grievance right now, since we're on the topic of airing grievances. Oh my God, where is it?
I swear I saw it. Is it right? Is
notes.
It there?
Oh, thank you.
I saw it.
Thanks, Chloe. So here's my grievance. I don't hear from my listeners enough. I just All don't. Right. So here's my grievance. If you have grievances or anything, it's my show's birthday. And it's my birthday this week. Month
Happy
two.
Happy birthday. Thanks. Awesome.
So my grievance, with a healthy dosing of guilt for my listeners.
I love it.
Is the Mormon Happy Hour voicemail is 435-494-1427 or mormonhappyhour@gmail.com or you can contact me through the website or you can always direct message me on Facebook or that one gets filtered.
It does get filtered.
Don't do Facebook.
It's tricky.
Instagram. Twitter. I suck at Twitter though. Just
me too. And I own Twitter for our podcast and
oh
I'm like,
really
yeah I'm like it's, the social media Instagram I'm all over
yeah
but yeah Twitter's so, not my
so form. Yeah like email or voicemail and yeah air your grievances or whatever else is on your
if
mind.
You just want to bitch about the fact that she's asking you for more feedback
go for it.
I'm gonna call you right on my way home and leave a message. Just So you've got some feedback.
Then I'm gonna play it.
Awesome. Awesome. Fantastic. Cool.
Well, thanks.
Thank you.
Is there any grievance you have since we're in grievances?
No, I pretty, as we discussed at brunch, I pretty much air my grievances as soon as they're grievances. So it's rare that anyone doesn't know of a grievance that I have.
I think that's a really healthy technique.
Yeah, I live a pretty grievance-free life because I just say it when it happens.
I love that.
I maybe also don't have as many friends as some people do.
But at least you have honest relationships.
I do have honest relationships.
And it's true. People can't handle you airing your grievances. And I think you do a pretty good job of couching it in blah, blah, blah statements.
It comes back to me. Yeah, yeah.
I think that's not on you. That's on them.
Yeah, it is. Hmm. Totally. Because I'm amazing.
I'm gonna pat you on the back and you can pat me on my back. Yay! Oh, yeah. We're having a good
episode. We're amazing.
This is the what's the arrogance that comes when you're a podcaster.
Right? It totally is true. Yeah. Living in your own little vacuum, right? Listening to yourself and thinking you sound amazing.
Really, it's not true. Okay, we're very self-conscious about, you know, things.
Very self. I'm actually the whole video aspect of this, and then the fact that you don't edit, because our podcast gets edited way down. So Donna on my podcast makes us all sound amazing. So if I don't sound as amazing on this one as on my own, that's why. It's because Donna's really doing it all.
Don't say I don't edit. I edit.
You do edit. I do, you just don't.
I don't cut for material.
You don't cut for material. That's what I mean. Yes. That's what I mean. Sorry.
You're going to be authentic you.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Which is a little bitchy sometimes.
It's okay.
All right.
Well, thank you. Did you finish your chilada yet, ma'am?
I didn't finish it, but okay, going there.
We're going to finish.
Cheers. All right. Bottoms up.
Oh, I can't. Okay. No way I could finish that.
Right now.
No.
No.
All right. Merry Christmas. Happy Festivus.
Happy Festivus.
Have a happy holidays dealing with your family. Enjoying your family. Bye. That wraps up today's topics. We are so glad you stopped by. Be sure to join the Mormon Happy Hour on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Patreon. If you smiled, please drop us a 5-star review wherever you found us. See you next week. Cheers!